He's got the knowledge.
Because once again, I have to come on air and talk about how right I am once again in anything that it comes to sports.
He's got the questions.
I'm going to lose it. Are you kidding me? What are we doing here?
He's got the guess.
20th head coach in Fresno State history here, Matt. Is it hard to believe sometimes still the 20th head coach here in program history?
It's all moved really quickly here over the course of the last five, 6 weeks. But super excited to be here.
Phil Bonatti is the voice for the Central Valley sports leader. Behind the Bench starts now. Brought to you by Helena Agri.
That's right. Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader here on this Monday. Reaction Monday. Boy, the weekend went by fast, didn't it? January 19th is the day today. Good to have you alongside for another edition, just an hour edition of Behind the Bench today before we send it off to Miami for the national championship game between Indiana and Miami for it all. We'll get into that. We'll get into everything over the weekend. Only an hour to do so. Lot to talk about on today's show. We will get right to it. But first, thanks to Tony D for tossing it to us in the previous hour. Tony D Show, Sportsline Bulldog Hour. Tony D from 2 to 3 on the weekdays. You can listen to it live and on demand on the 1430 ESPNFresno.com website and on the ESPN Fresno app. So good to have him here on the program. Of course, we have my program normally from 3 to 6. It's all 3 to 4 today, but you can catch it on demand on the website and on the app as well. Paul Metter Show, the Central Valley Sports Report, live from 10 a.m. to noon on Saturdays from First String Sports as well. Like I said, great to be here. Great to be alongside you all. Good to be talking with you. Of course, like we said, going into the first hour only. A lot to dive into. If you want to dive into it with us, of course, you have the Lee's Air Hotline, which is 559-320-1430, the way to reach our show. 559-320-1430, the way to get a hold of us. Sponsored by Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. Good time to get a hold of them this year, especially with the Lee's Air Weather Check. Taking a look at it, 56 degrees, according to my weather app. Much warmer than some other areas yesterday in terms of the weather. 56 degrees, cleared up, sunny over on our neck of the woods here. Hopefully it's sunny for you. 60s along, low 60s, high 50s pretty much for the next foreseeable 7 days or so. So not too bad. Not too bad in terms of the weather department. Here on a Monday, like I said. Excited to bring it to you. What are we talking about today? Of course, we'll have the Who's Bonatti, Who's Been Ice of the day today. Talk about the Niners. We'll talk about the Rams. We'll talk about all of it. Josh Allen, all of it. There's so much to get into. I just don't think we can dive into all the storylines coming from this weekend with everything like that. Plus, we got a game to get you set for Miami and Indiana. But I got to start with the headlines, of course. And before I dive into any of that today, of course, once again, a reminder, we're live streaming on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch as well. If you want to go there for our show, like I said, for the hour. Of course, what's always on my mind, what's the first thing I always go to on a Monday is I always am wondering how my wonderful producer is doing on his weekend and how his weekend was. And I may know the answer to this question as well, but let me just ask the question to you. Jorge in today on this Monday. And Jorge, all things considered, how was your weekend? Oh, I got you. There you go. Hello.
I had to put myself up. There we go. I was saying, I don't know what you got to say like that.
You got
something on your mind that you want to say to me.
I'm thinking about you.
Of course you are.
My thoughts are, of course you are, with you and your team.
Yeah. With me and my team.
We're about to get into it because we were getting into it before the show today about everything 49ers today. So
my weekend was okay.
Okay, good enough.
It wasn't too bad.
Yeah.
Yes, the Niners lost, but that's you know. I had it in my mind that it could happen. It wasn't something that I didn't think it could happen.
Because, certainly.
You know, we were who we were.
You were who you were.
But at the same time, you know, I didn't expect it to be that way.
Uh-huh.
I thought it was going to be a little bit, you know, more competitive.
Certainly.
But it is what it is. It happened.
The Move Niners on. Season ending as it is what it is, unfortunately, as they lost 41-6 to the Seattle Seahawks this weekend. And Jorge, let me tell you, I'm not dancing on any grave today. I know people know me.
It sure looks like you're...
Let me tell you.
It sure looks like you want to.
I guaranteed it. I guaranteed the Niners would win this past weekend based off of all the things I was reading, all the things I was thinking about, all of the things leading into it with Sam Darnold's injury, whatever that was, which apparently didn't really affect them that much, to all the things of... Oh, Robert Saleh's got the Seahawks offense figured out. They're gonna take care of business here. And then I just completely disregarded the factor of special teams and a kickoff return that essentially ended the game before it even started with Rashid Shaheed. And from then on air, when the Niners didn't get that fourth down on their first drive, we knew the game would probably pretty much be going the way it did.
Yeah. I think that Once that started, it kind of was like a punch to the face, and you had to come back with something.
Yeah,
but they didn't. And when they didn't, I was like, "Oh, we're in trouble." You scored a field goal, and then the second quarter turns around, and you're like, "Okay, it's more competitive now." And then the second half, it just seems like you lost it, lost all control of everything. Like nothing's going your way. You're getting picks, throwing picks, and you can't do anything on defense. Your offense is barely struggling to get a few yards.
57 yards was their longest drive. You look at all the drive charts situations. If you count downs, turnover on downs as turnovers for the 49ers, they had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 turnovers, if you want to count it.
No, we don't.
Well, let me do this math into it. If the Niners were giving the ball back to the Seahawks, of the three actual turnovers, the fumble, the interception, and the other fumble, the Seahawks scored 14 points off of those. If you want to go in the other direction, is the downs and the going for it on fourth downs, Seahawks added another touchdown, so that's 21. They've added a field goal there, too, so that's 24. Add another field goal, so that's 27 points off of situations where the Niners gave the ball back to Seattle, whether it was on downs or fumbles or interceptions. Not ideal. Not ideal.
It was mainly the special teams and the once you give
and up, you count that as a turnover too. I would say a special team return for a kick. Kyle Shanahan calls it a turnover. Basically, that's a pick six. If you really think about it.
Whatever it is, once you get points off of that, plus you get
34 points
off of picks. Those are not points that you could get back.
Yeah,
you can get back points when you leave them on offense or on defense, but now when you leave them on special teams or pick sixes,
it was an avalanche.
Those are just it just happened really fast. They couldn't get a hold of themselves, and if we would have had better,
I don't know if having Fred, I don't know if having anybody would have anything better there.
I think the inexperience of being in that place that loud that. Yeah, you were there a few weeks ago, but it's not the same. It's not the same.
Well, I imagine Niners fans, they're kind of obviously disappointed, I would imagine. You're disappointed in the result of the season. It was somewhat of a ride where you did not expect to get this far. You did not expect this team to even beat the Eagles last week, right? And you get through this season in a situation where you were in a position to win the division at the final game of the year, and somehow you were one of the final eight. So to put that into context of what the Niners were dealing with this season, sure. But on the flip side, I would say there's still question marks of what is the future for this team, of what kind of talent is going to be playing around the squad. You don't have Ayuk, obviously, in the situation next year. You're probably going to be still looking for it because – obviously, you can't really trust Ricky and what he's been able to do in terms of staying healthy in the situations. You don't have Kittle, really, for the start of the year next year, if not most of the year.
He said he's good to come back.
I mean, I know.
Right now.
I know. Anybody can say that. Anybody can say that they're good to back. You know, recovery takes time. He's got to hit all the checkpoints, and he's 32, 33, right? So that's a tough age to come back from that situation. That's just being frank. But maybe Kittle's the guy. You know, Fred's going to be back and healthy. That's going to be nice. Bosa, back and healthy. That's going to be nice. But what was the issue for the 49ers is they're probably going to be losing Robert Saleh off the coaching staff again.
Most likely, yeah.
Most likely. If he doesn't get out of the building in Tennessee today, Sounds like he's flying down to Arizona. I've been reading reports.
I don't know that he would want to take that job because it's just speculation, but a lot of people have been saying that.
Well, he's in Tennessee. He's in person interviewing in Tennessee right now.
Tennessee's probably the best place where he could go.
Yeah, because I feel like Niner fans would lose their, you know what, if he went to Arizona as the head coach of the Arizona Cardinals. Yeah. In division would be very tough for y'all.
I mean,
yeah,
it's Arizona, so.
But it's Robert Saleh in Arizona. You respect Robert Saleh. It doesn't matter if it's Arizona. Yeah. Arizona kicked your ass from, like, whatever, 2016 to whatever.
I didn't.
Yeah, they did.
I remember that.
Okay. Well, you knocked it out because you were 2-14 in that season. So, but anyways, my point is a window closing for this 49ers team, or is there another opportunity to kind of get the most out of what this team is? And it's another year of adding to the age of McCaffrey. You get the one great healthy year of McCaffrey here, and I'm like, are you guaranteed that when he hasn't shown it in the last 5 years?
He wasn't super healthy either. I mean, he did miss a few games.
He played every game.
He was more consistent in other years, But like I'm saying, like if he comes back, and he doesn't have a recurring injury right now so far, so.
You won't have Mac Jones to be a blanket healthier behind you for Brock Purdy, because Mac Jones is going to demand some money here now. People are going to be interested in Mac Jones.
We could always get our personal guy, Martinez.
Adrian, that's fine. That's fine. I don't know if that's an answer, but, you know, he could try his darndest. But in the context of today, and this is gonna really rile up Jorge, is what happened in Buffalo is pretty relevant to what is going to happen with this Niners team moving forward in terms of what timeline you have left as this unit is together. And I know you're going to rebuttal, and I get it. And Niner fans can push back all they want, but what is the standard in the National Football League is other than winning Super Bowls, right? And I know it's archaic to kind of think of it in the one-term way, but with what McDermott just did, where he just got his head chopped off in Buffalo this morning, you know, see you later. Thanks for having one of the greatest eight-year runs of all time in Buffalo history, and now you are no longer going to be our coach. That is the standard in Buffalo.
Yeah, but Buffalo was failing to win the championship.
Well, let me finish, because there's a stat out there that I keep looking at, that I kept looking at over and over this morning in context of the Sean McDermott firing. Because I thought, okay, well, why? Why would you fire a guy who has sustainably gotten you to a situation of winning and ability to get to those levels of contending? Josh Dubow is a person I follow on the AP. He does a really good job in some good contextual stats. And he said, 36 coaches won the Super Bowl ever. 32 of those coaches that were hired after the start of the Super Bowl era, he gave a breakdown of what year that in the job that they won their first title. First-time coaches won 4 times. Second-year coaches, 8 times. Third-year coaches won 4 times. Fourth-year coaches won 7 times. Fifth-year coaches won 5 times. And then there's only been 4 other coaches ever that have won after their 5th year. One in their 6th year, one in their 7th, one in their 8th, and one in their 14th. That's Bill Cowher, who was there for 14 years for the Steelers before he finally won his first in 05 over the Seattle Seahawks. My point being is we are what? In year 9, we are approaching year 9 of Kyle Shanahan, and we are asking ourselves, is he the outlier? Is this the outlier that the Niners can believe in, or is he falling in the trap of can never win it because of the time and ability that new coaches have to continually outpace some of the coaches that have been there forever?
That is the craziest take I ever heard of my life.
Allow it.
There's no way that – how could you let go of
I'm firing Kyle Shanahan right now, but I'm
you
saying,
are you are.
I am not saying that, but I'm saying don't be surprised if the level of vitriol and the level of impatience from the 49ers standpoint, not you as fans, not you, you fans love Kyle Shanahan, what he's done. But what I'm saying is the level of patience from what the 49ers have inside that building is waning thin, and the pressure to win a Super Bowl is mounting. Especially when guys are getting fired like McDermott, like Harbaugh, like Tomlin, and Kyle has nothing to his name right now for 9 years now. if I'm in the room of the 49ers, that is a real conversation that's happening right now, and saying, I'm not going to let him go yet, but I'm here looking at what we're doing, and the fact is it's not good enough. We are a team that wins Super Bowls, and we haven't done one since the 90s. We have not won a championship since 95. That's a standard. You're not just a good, happy, good old team like the Bills. You
haven't won a Super Bowl since 95.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who won? Kyle Shanahan was 10 years old in 95.
We won NFC championships.
But who hangs banners for that? Who cares? Nobody.
The thing you're talking about is like insane to me, because what they look for the most is consistency. Having consistency out there and being one of the top teams. Yeah.
You can be
consistent.
Titles
are going to come by.
And Kyle's been a consistent loser in the latest part of the season. And so has Sean McDermott.
And he's taken us to the Super Bowl.
And so has been Tomlin. And so has been Harbaugh. And so have been all of those guys who lost their jobs.
How many years were they on those teams?
Enough. Enough for the owners to say, we're done.
Right. They had more than 10 years in each team.
And I'm just saying.
You're talking about this guy getting fired in the ninth season.
I am not firing Kyle Shanahan today. But what I am saying is, do not be surprised if we are approaching a situation where the history of what the National Football League has been for 50, almost 60 years.
It would be insane for this franchise who...
And that's something you can negotiate with the franchise. And that's something you can negotiate with the Niners. But it is the history. It is the history of what the 49ers...
And once they came in, we started winning stuff. Once we had more consistency, we started... First it was Harbaugh.
Let me finish.
And then they found that... And then when they found...
I understand that.
Shanahan, we started winning more.
I'm understanding that. But it is the history of this National Football League that it dictates... What is happening with the coaches in this league? And what happens with the coaches in this league that don't win, don't last. That's what happens.
But what franchises are those?
All of them.
What franchises are those?
All of them.
It's not all of them. It's a few owners that
tell me the longest coach you can think of. Who coached for, like, Andy Reid was with the Eagles for how many years? Like 9 years before they said, all right, you're done. Like yeah, we're on the fringe of Andy Reid being fired here for the 49ers in terms of Kyle Shanahan. We're there. We are there.
But he didn't have the success that John Kennedy was having.
What are you talking
about?
Andy Reid went to 4 straight bleeping NFC championships. He lost the Super Bowl. That's practically what Kyle Shanahan's done.
It's not the same.
It's exactly
it's
the
not
same.
The same.
And, the Eagles,
and how many years was
and
he
the Eagles
with
kicked
the Eagles?
Him out of the building.
And they kicked him up when he didn't.
2009 or 2011. And they said, good riddance. We're done with you. And guess what he did? He went to another franchise and won a Super Bowl. That's probably what will happen with Kyle once they let him walk next year.
And then you're saying, well, win 2 titles then?
Is it right? No. I agree with you that it's not right. But is it the nature of the National Football League? That's my point.
It's insane to me.
Do not be surprised in the context and the whirlwind of what the National Football League has turned into.
You have consistency. You have wins. You have titles.
Yeah.
Whether you don't like to put them up or not.
Yeah.
They are titles. They do give you a trophy for them. You do go up there and grab it.
Jorge.
And then you go to the Super Bowl.
Jorge,
yeah.
You.
We were.
You are a person that accepts that as a.
We were
as
a field goal away from winning a Super Bowl.
You are in the minority of people who is gladly enjoying this era of Niner football. But I would tell you a vast majority of people do not agree with you. And
we'll
I'm
see.
Just saying that.
Well, that's...
All right.
That's that.
And that's that. The Niners are done. They will not win a Super Bowl this year. And we will talk about the other teams coming up. But we got so much to recap from the weekend. We'll take another break. We'll be right back. 1 hour here on 1430 ESPN. All right, welcome back to Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN, Fresno Valley's local sports leader. Are we feeling that kind of mood today, aren't we? Feels like we're feeling that mood today, at least some for the 49er fans out there. All right, we'll take a big deep breath. We got a little hot. Jorge loves to rile it up on this show. I love to rile it up, too.
It's a Monday. It's a holiday Monday,
it's feisty.
Too, and you're getting me all, like, you know, my.
Well, you know, we're out of here early, so like we're trying to get
it's an early day.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the opinions are flowing, and we'll debate this. I'll tell you what, I'm ready to debate this all the way to next season. I'm about this whole thing.
This won't be the last time we're talking about it.
Yeah, certainly, and I'm sure it will not be as well. Hey, Jorge, let's still do who's been naughty, who's been nice from the weekend, since it is a Monday show. Where are we gonna go first? You feeling naughty? You feeling nice in terms
of
who's been naughty? Okay, let's go. Who's been naughty? And it's gonna be an interesting one. Coach's name Sean. Yeah, coach's name Sean. And I know there's two coaches named Sean that ended up winning their games this weekend. But let me start with the one that lost. In terms of excuse me, I had three coaches. Don't worry, I had this written down somewhere. All right, first let me start with Sean Payton, right? Okay. Sean Payton, the way he handled the Bo Nix situation at the tail end of that game, when you have him rolling out in a situation and then having him twist his ankle in a certain way, why are we doing this with your quarterback in a situation where I understand he could run and all that kind of stuff, but that is such a bummer of a bummer. For the Broncos to lose their quarterback right before an AFC championship like that, broken ankle. It was so strange for that kind of situation to pop up. But to have him just kind of running in a situation where you're in field goal range, just let your quarterback be a quarterback in that situation. I'm talking the third play before the end of the game.
Yeah, no, but I don't think they realized he had a broken foot yet.
Yeah, but why run a play that could cause that situation in terms of that? That's where I'm sitting here, like, looking at him, like, what are we doing in terms of that? Sean McDermott's the other Sean I was thinking of. Sean McDermott, who complained endlessly at the end of that game that was a catch or an interception and not looking at it or anything like that. Good grief. Good grief it was an interception.
That was a catch.
What is a catch? What are we doing here? Like, what are we talking about? And you know what? I think part of the reason he got fired was because he sounded like a loser. Whining about that at the end of the game.
Probably.
Instead of like taking accountability for his horrible decision making, especially like going for that kind of play on offense at the end of the half with Josh Allen fumbling in that situation. And yes, Josh is not without fault, but Sean McDermott, take accountability. And well, he did by getting his job, him getting let go of his job. But he sounded like a whiny you know what at the end of that game. That's where I'm at with Sean McDermott. And I'm kind of good riddance of him in terms of that. Do you agree? I don't know if you agree. I feel like he was kind of a whiner.
Yeah, but also, like, there were a couple instances there where you're like, I don't know if that's the right play. And I mean, you take a look at it and you still have doubts. I mean, like, come on. Like, how is that not a catch when he's already on the ground? But yet, almost the exact same thing happens in the other game, and they call that a catch. So I don't know.
He just needed to focus on, hey, maybe our defense didn't like play as well, and that's my calling card. And somehow, some way, I can't get this defense to play the way I wanted to play. But, you know, whatever. And then Sean McVay, just a little bit. They did end up winning the game, but oh, my goodness, the offensive play calling in Sean McVay at that game was questionable best, including, you remember, 3rd and 6 with about 2 minutes to go, or was right at the two-minute warning.
Yeah,
they had a chance to win the game if they just got a first down instead of giving it to the Bears. And they just ran the ball, right?
Yeah.
Right into the line. And I'm sitting here. I think that he should have gone for it in that situation. I'm not going to kill him for it because they ended up winning the game. I really think the Rams should have gone for it on 3rd and 6 at their own 24 simply for the idea of, well.
3rd and 6 or?
It's like 3rd and 6.
Okay.
The Bears feel like they're going to get to that situation anyway. Of being having the ball there with about
you should go for a field goal you're talking about.
No. I'm talking they're backed up. 3rd and 6, they're at their own 24. And the Bears have one timeout left.
Yes.
Right? You get a first down, the game's over. It's 17-10. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And if he gets a first down, they win the game. But he runs it into the line with the most like vanilla running play you've ever seen in your life.
That is true. I did tell my friend who was there watching. Game with that. It seemed like he didn't know what play was.
Yeah.
Or
just didn't look good.
Or somebody missed a play.
I argue you at least throw it there for a first down. Trust your MVP quarterback to go and make a play with two of the best receivers out there in terms of Devontae and Puka and say, we're going to beat you that way. Because even then, if you turn the ball over, you still have to stop a touchdown. But it's 1:54 left, and if the Bears score, you have another shot to, like, with three timeouts, and you could have, like, 40 seconds, 50 seconds on the clock, as opposed to the 18 seconds they had when Cole Kmet caught the crazy miracle.
I think that the idea there was that if he, you know, throws it, the clock is going to stop.
Well, it's going to stop anyway. You're going to punt the ball.
Yeah, but you still got a fourth down.
Yeah.
So the clock, you know, it's still got 20 seconds.
So why not throw
there.
It?
25 seconds.
Why not throw it? I'm there. I don't know. I'm more on the hyper-aggressive, why not throw it kind of situation.
I get it. I get it.
I trust my passing offense, which is the best in the NFL, against a defense that, let's be honest, isn't like the greatest defense out there.
I thought it was going to be a high-scoring affair.
I thought so, too. And then both offensive coordinators got scared.
Both defenses are kind of like, you know, not that great.
So. Anyways, we're taking too much time on this one. But a coach's name is Sean. Particularly Sean McDermott, but Sean Payton and Sean McVay. You're not without sin. Let's go to a Who's Been Nice. Second play. There we go. Hello. Bo Nix. He might have been the best QB this weekend, statistically. And so I want to just give him his flowers. 26 for 46, 279 yards, three touchdowns, just the one pick. I felt like Bo Nix played the best out of any quarterback this weekend. Is that fair to say? I want to just give him his flowers.
Probably, yeah.
Like, if I really consider, if you really think about it, like Josh Allen with all the turnovers, C.J. Stroud, yeah, bottom of the list. Purdy did not play at all very well. Caleb and Stafford were stagnant in certain situations, and Sam Darnold didn't really have to do much. So by default, I feel like Bo Nix actually showed up in a playoff game and played his heart out and looked like a guy who could definitely lead his team into a Super Bowl. And if he didn't just break his damn ankle in a bad situation, we'd be talking Broncos. Definitely favored over the Patriots in this game on Sunday.
Yeah, I feel like the Pats didn't show that much in the game to be able to say that they were going to be better than the Broncos if they had Nix. Other than that, I mean, he played well. He had a great game all the way to the end, and even when he had a broken neck, he was still out there.
Yeah.
But hey, good for him.
Good for Bo. That sucks. That sucks for Bo. That sucks for the Broncos fans, man. Feel bad. I really do. I genuinely feel bad for
him. So now the backup is someone you guys drafted?
Jared Stidham. We drafted like 5 years ago in the fourth round just as a backup. And now we're like, I guess he's our foe now.
You know, if he wins, it's kind of being.
I would hate it, everything. Here's the horrible part of this, Jorge. I came into this postseason like, whatever the Patriots do, house money, it's been great. I love it. But now there's an expectation set that we got to beat the backup, because if the Patriots don't, then I'm sitting here like feeling so mad about the situation that was in front of the Patriots and the opportunity squandered if they don't win this game on Sunday. Yep. That's where I'm at. So we'll see. Let's do another Benatti. C.J. Stroud, anyone? Do you watch that game?
Yeah, I watched the.
Could you believe the amount of interceptions he was throwing? It was in the second quarter, it felt like.
I thought he was just didn't want to have the ball.
Should he have been benched? Do you feel like he should have been benched? Like Davis Mills, like legit, or you ride or die with the guy you drafted?
I feel like the way that that defense was playing against him, I think anybody would have thrown those. Well, I feel any backup would have thrown those interceptions too.
Yeah.
I just think that he wasn't ready for it. He wasn't really ready for what they were showing, and he was just late with the throws.
Mm-hmm.
If he would have been just a little bit earlier, it would have been better. You know, more viable for to being catch, but it's just he was not.
Hey, I know the discourse is that, and I saw Dan Orlovsky say this stupid thing, which was 31 quarterbacks could beat the Patriots on Sunday, and C.J. Stroud was the 32nd worst quarterback. He was the only guy who could do it. I'm like, are we not giving credit to the Patriots defense right now in terms of, like, you watch that game, Jorge, and you're like, wow, that is another, what we saw against Herbert and what we saw against C.J. Stroud. Are you not convinced that this Patriots defense is playing at a top level right now in terms of what they're doing?
I think they are playing well. I don't know if they're playing top level. I think that CJ was the way he played, he made you guys' defense look like he was giving you stuff. And
But you got to capitalize on that situation.
No, yeah, definitely. Yeah. Definitely. So it's not that you guys weren't playing well or that you guys weren't up to, you know, top defense. It's just he didn't make you look like a top defense because you guys didn't need to look like a top defense.
I do want to look at the next gen stat stuff and all that stuff on the ESPN side, but we just don't have enough time to dive into the numbers. We'll do like a statistical Wednesday or something like that, looking at all of it. Anyways, let's go to my next benice. And it goes to one of my favorite catches of the weekend. The Kayshon Booty one hand reach out in the snow. Is that the best catch of the weekend? Feels like it. The layout.
I think it fell second to Komet. So.
But that wasn't a difficult catch for Komet.
No, but it was the catch he needed to make.
I know. But what I'm saying, well, Booty, I would argue it was 21-16 at that point. The Patriots, I don't know if we're guaranteed kicking a field goal there.
Yeah.
In terms of that. And I think Booty getting that catch, it was third down in that situation. By the way, it's on Derek Stingley, who hadn't given up a catch the whole game yet until that moment. And the Patriots getting that kind of performance from Kayshon Booty, was leading receiver, 3 catches, 75 yards, and the touchdown. It has, to me, at least for me, it feels like that's the best catch I've seen this year. Kayshon Booty's catch right there at the in terms of the outstretch, keeping his arm in, able to hold on, bobble it just slightly, and come to the ground with it in snow. The snow's in your eyes. Like, what are we doing? It's so crazy.
I think it was no. Don't get me wrong. It was a great catch. Awesome catch.
Yeah.
I think it was the best catch. But I don't think it meant as much as the catch with Chicago with Clay.
Yeah, it's fair.
But
well, I think our qualification of catches versus, like, I'm not talking about the moment. I'm talking about just the actual catch.
The actual catch. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the moment of the game changed then.
Mm-hmm.
The momentum, I mean. And I think that created us something with that put you guys not just ahead, but like almost in retail.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Well, okay. Houston's offense was not getting to 28 points. They could have gotten to 21. Let's be honest. They could have really gotten there, but 28 felt unattainable.
Yeah. That happened.
Let's go to who's Benatti. And my last Benatti, DJ Moore, who runs just a completely, I don't know, head in space route that gets Cameron Curl in a great position to allow him to pick off Caleb Williams there. And I've been saying this all year about DJ Moore. He is the most fraudulent receiver out there in terms of Chicago. Honestly, you don't really need to cover him at all. And yeah, he had the nice catch of the touchdown, but one of these moments, I was waiting for him to hurt him. I was waiting for him to hurt the Bears. And, of course, in the biggest moment, the last throw Caleb Williams' season is one that was intended for him, and he had no idea where the ball was and led to an interception that led to the Rams getting into that final drive.
At first, I thought Caleb was the one that threw the wrong ball, but the route was there. Everything was set up, and he just stopped.
He just stopped playing football.
So, like,
go figure. When you stop playing football,
I don't know if he thought he's not going to me anyway. So I'm just gonna be here, and then all of a sudden, he gets picked. And I don't know. It just to me, it seemed like he was off thinking something else, or just not in it. I don't know. It was so weird.
Weird, so weird. And DJ Moore. I don't know. I don't know what to make of him. I don't know what to make of him as a receiver. I don't know what to make of him as where the Bears could go in terms of that.
He's talented. Just,
yeah.
I don't know.
Crazy. Crazy stuff. All right, let's go to my last benice of the weekend. And I'll give it to Devontae Adams. He only had 2 catches for 24 yards in this game against Chicago. But, Jorge, what about that catch on the sideline in overtime, I think it was, right? It was in overtime?
That's insane. Yeah, it was in overtime.
Where he toe-tapped it. And it felt like the Rams really needed that completion, specifically in that situation.
He only had 2 catches, but that one was the one the team needed the most. When they needed him the most, he showed up.
It was, yeah, it was on the 1st and 10 at the Ram 41, and it got him into Bears territory. He was able to toe tap at 12 yards. Stafford was just like the most perfect throw in the hit. Like, he is so good at those in those situations. And he was able to thread a needle there with two defenders. And that's when I really felt like, okay, I think the Rams really have this kind of game going in their direction in overtime. They needed a few more situations, of course. But, man, it was an awesome throw, awesome catch. And Devontae's in a situation here where he will end up obviously playing for another chance at a Super Bowl opportunity. He has yet to play in a Super Bowl, if I'm not mistaken. And, boy, he is so tantalizingly close to that situation now with this game coming up against Seattle. But Devontae showing up in big moments. He wasn't there for the most he didn't catch many, but when he caught them, that you felt them in terms of this situation. So also the big catch in traffic that he came down on, and everyone wants to scream and cry about that being the same instance as the Bills and Broncos game. And I was like,
I thought he was concussed then.
I thought
he was going to be out of the game because he just looked out of it.
He has been getting hit hard in this playoffs. It's been really rough to watch Devontae get, like, crushed.
I think he got taken into the little tent, but yeah, then the blue tent.
Yeah. Anyways, that's our Who's Been Oddie, Who's Been Ice of the weekend for here today. Any other entries, or are you good with them? Yeah?
I'm good. That's pretty good.
I didn't kill your Niners.
Because you needed to, right?
They were already dead.
Because you needed to.
They were already dead. Hey, D. Winters, I thought, had a good game.
There were some stars there.
Did you see Eddie P's slide tackle attempt on the kickoff?
that cost us more than what...
You know what? Honestly, I would have done the same thing, man. Like, I'll take the 15-yard, whatever that is.
Yeah, if you stop him, yeah.
If you stop him, at least it's not a touchdown, right?
But he didn't stop him.
Heady move by Eddie P. Heady move. Yeah.
I like his style, man.
You like his style. Yeah. All right. Let's take a break. And when we come back, we're going to wrap up the show. Yeah, that's right. We're done. We'll wrap up the show. Get you set for the national championship next on 1430 ESPN. All right, welcome back to Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN, Fresno Valley's local sports leader. Hope you're enjoying your MLK Day today. If you have it off, of course, most of you do, and I'm sure most of you are getting ready to go watch the national championship or listen to it right here on 1430. Of course, at Miami and Indiana is coming up very soon, and let's see if someone get Joe's attention. Can we get Joe's attention? Joe! Come on in. Come on in. Come on real quick. Come on in. Let's get him in real quick. There we go. Hopefully I didn't blow out the speaker. I forgot. Hey, Miami and Indiana are coming on pretty soon here. Are you going to come? Which mic are you going to do? No, you don't need him. You don't need him. You don't need him. You don't need a headset. I'm just talking to you. Was that mic too? Yeah, it did. There we go. Now people can hear you, right, Joe?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I see my levels. I see it.
There you go. Just real quick for you. Feel for the game tonight, Miami, Indiana.
I'm feeling the blowout. I'm feeling the 42-0 Miami Canes. Size difference, you know, just talent wise, everything's just better. Miami, that's all I know.
Yeah, why is Miami like? What are the things Miami can do to win this game tonight?
I mean, you seen that true freshman we got there, right? Tony
Fletcher Jr.
Malachi
Tony, right?
No, Malachi Tony. He's a stud. He's gonna have himself a game tonight, and yeah. Fletcher Jr. is gonna have over 120 yards. I just think Miami has size. I think the O-line's going to hold up. I think Beck will come through. He's at home right now.
Yeah.
I think they'll be all right. It needs to be a good game.
The defense?
Number one defense in the NCAA, so I'm pretty stoked to see them go up against Indiana. That'll be a great matchup.
You said 42-point win?
I said 42-0.
42-0. All
right. I'm confident right now. Okay. I need this.
Like, I know you do.
You don't understand how bad
it is. You just hired Jeff Hafley. You need everything in the world right now.
My Dolphins... I mean, our Dolphins are doing things. I mean, I don't know. We're going to be like, instead of the 49ers now, we're going to be the Packers. Yeah, exactly. Want to be Packers. That's what they're going, exactly. About they're going down. But
all right. Well, I just wanted to bring you in just real quick. Just talking about the Canes. So good luck tonight.
Yeah, I appreciate it. And like I said, 42-0, Jorge. They didn't know prediction. That's what it's going to be.
You're not even on the air, Jorge. I even can't hear you.
Yeah, I don't have headphones on.
My bad. I was showing some stuff, but that's insane.
That's insane, he says.
Jorge, what does Jorge know? He's the one that said that.
Well, he's going to make a prediction right here in a little moment. You want to make a prediction here, Jorge?
Yeah,
I'll go with it. I'm going to go with 35-30 for the Hoosiers.
35-30 for the Hoosiers?
Yeah, what does Jorge know? That's
well,
lame.
I think it's going to be 24. How much is Miami going to score?
Miami hasn't faced anybody like the Hoosiers.
Yeah, 24-13.
24-13? You think they're going to put up 13 against them?
You guys haven't faced that defense yet.
It really could be like the Big Ten championship when Indiana won, like, was it 13-10 over Ohio State? Yeah. It really could be a game like
that. Yeah, I mean, Miami's defense, I feel like they got a bunch of size, man. Even the O-line for Miami is way bigger than the Hoosiers.
I just think it's perfect. Like, I know Miami playing at home, it feels great.
It feels good.
It's almost like mental, you know what it's going to come down to? Discipline. You guys are going to make too many flags, too many mistakes, and that's going to cost you guys.
A hater.
Jorge's a hater.
He's just mad because I was talking crap.
Like Miami until they face Indiana.
I was saying this, though, with the Miami, all of it. Miami being home, it's great. It's the homecoming. But this isn't the homecoming we're talking about here. It's Fernando Mendoza's homecoming in Miami. This is where it's lining up to for Indiana. It's not like it's just that Crank Kane's playing at home. Everyone's playing at home. Miami is centric to all of this thing, this entire game. And that's why I think isn't quite in Miami's favor. It's Mendoza playing in front. The kid's a stud, man. I've grown a Mendoza. Like, I remember him from the Cal days. And what at the end of the year, he cried about playing with his teammates, just wanting to win for his teammates. It's like the dude's awesome, man.
Honestly, like, when stuff like this happens for, like, any of my teams where things line up perfectly, they never go
right.
So I have confidence right now. But deep in my heart, if things go off the rails, I'm not going to say I knew it or anything, but – and like I said, anytime something's going good for me, something's got to go off the rails.
Well, Joe, if the Canes win, you're in here 3 o'clock sharp tomorrow.
Let's do it. Yeah, we'll talk some football. Yeah,
we'll recap.
Malachi Toney, 3 touchdowns later.
All right. Okay, sure.
Joe, get going. We'll see you. We'll see you tomorrow in terms of that. There you go. All right, Joe Gomez making an appearance. I just wanted to get his little take on that. 42-0, man. I don't know. What are we here at? 42-0? What are we going to go, like Stetson Bennett, like 68-whatever against TCU? Remember that?
Yeah.
That Georgia natty in L.A. that was the worst
TCU
national.
TCU natty that just, yeah.
Thanks for coming, TCU. Yeah. I should remind people of the schedule. Of course, right now over on 790, the Sharks, who are down in South Florida right now. And I believe that first period is over. It's no score. Sharks and Panthers right now at no score going into the second period. So if you want to listen to that, that's over on 790. Sharks, of course, are there, and we'll have the national championship coming up in just a little bit. Tomorrow, a reminder, we have high school hoops tomorrow, which is going to be Clovis North and Buchanan, live from Buchanan. That's going to be a 6:45 pregame, 7 p.m. tip between me and Paul Metters on the call there. Clovis North, Buchanan, track battle should be a lot of fun there. And I'm trying to think of other things. Of course, we'll have the regular rest of the schedule out. Some Laker games this coming week. And some Sharks games, of course, too. And, yeah, that's what we got. A lot of stuff like that. We'll get some FPU games. I know we have FPU Sunbird Sports Show on Wednesday as well, right?
They're out this week.
No FPU Sunbirds.
No, FPU Sunbirds, but basketball, FPU basketball.
They're on the road this week.
Till February.
Okay. Got it. We got to check if, anyway, we'll check. I'll talk to you off air about that. There's one thing I want to check on the FPU schedule with you in regards to Super Bowl week. So I want to make sure we get that figured out. Anyways, national championship tonight. By the way, this daily spread brought to you by Chicchancy Gold Resort and Casino. If you're not trying your luck with your teams, try your luck with Chicchancy Gold Resort and Casino today. And the spread, you want to take a guess at where the spread is for Indiana and Miami real quick, Jorge?
Is it less than 5 points?
No.
More than 5 points?
More.
Is it a 12-point?
No, a little less. Okay. 8.5, Indiana. Favorite.
8.5.
Would you take the points? Or no. Would you take Indiana?
I'll take Indiana.
You just said 35-31.
Yeah, but I'm not going to take the points.
That's taking the points.
Then, yeah, I'm taking the points.
Come on. Like,
I'm confused now. What?
When you take the points, it says Miami's going to keep it closer than 8.5.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you said that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you said I'm not going to take the points.
No. Okay.
But now that I explain what taking the points is.
No. Yeah, that's what I mean. But I'm okay. Well,
this is what happens when you talk about sports gambling in a state.
It's a Monday.
Jorge's in a state of mind. We had late lunch.
That threw me off. I'm not going to lie. That threw me off.
Did late lunch threw you off? Yeah.
Yeah, because I was not ready for it.
It threw me off as well, Jorge.
That much sugar at that time.
I'm like, I don't like being full, like right before the show. I kind of like, you know, burning it off for a couple hours or anything like that. Yeah. I feel like what was it called? Gravy.
Benediction.
Biscuits and gravy, Benediction.
From Benediction, who we'll say farewell to.
Yeah. Delicious. Delicious stuff.
That was delicious lunch, yeah. But just kind of late.
Thank you, Benediction. All right. That's it. I got Indiana tonight. Like I said, I got Indiana winning. You got Indiana winning. Yeah. There you go.
It's going to be a close game, though.
We'll look forward to it.
A good game.
I got to get to a watch party, so I'm going to sign off here. Jorge, we'll see you tomorrow, 3 o'clock.
I'll be here.
2 hours of show. Hey, shout out Lexi for doing the video today.
Thank you, Lexi.
New intern. We'll get her on air sooner rather than later, too, so we'll get to that. Anyways, good show. The national championship, Indiana, Miami, coming up next.